let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Robert Maddock has a love of history, graduated from St. George's School, Middletown, Rhode Island, Stanford University with a BA, was captain in the United States Marine Corps with active service and reserve duty 1956 through 65, part of which was in the Middle East. Now, he graduated from the University of Virginia with an MD, did 5 years postgraduate training at the University of Utah College of Medicine and University Hospitals of Cleveland, full-time faculty for 3 years, eventually adjunct professor of medicine at the University of Utah, fellow in the American College of Physicians, in private practice until 2007 when he retired. He's the author of The 1300 Years War and Operation Wappen, A War That Never Was. Now, the book 1300 Years War in two volumes describes the evolution of Judeo-Christianity and Islam and 1300 years of warfare between them. Operation Wappen, A War That Never Was, is an autobiographical account of his service during Operation Deepwater and Wappen in the Eastern Mediterranean, September-October of 1957. And Robert Maddock is with us on This Week in America. Dr. Maddock, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
It's great to be with you, Rick. Thank you.
So much to talk about with both books that you've written, and I'm fascinated by Operation Wappen, which basically I understand is a secret mission. Give us a little background on this story and your involvement in it.
Oh, thank you. I will. When I graduated from basic school, I went to artillery school, and from there I was sent to Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, and eventually ended up in Fox Battery, 2nd Battalion, 10th Marines. Now, for those who don't understand quite what goes on in warfare, the artillery is separate from the infantry, but the artillery supports the infantry. And we were supporting 3rd Battalion, 6th Marine Regiment, were their artillery support. As a forward observer, I was detached from the battery and became another foot soldier in the 3rd Battalion, 6th Marines. And my duty there was to act as a forward artillery observer for that particular unit.
You know, it's interesting, Operation Wappen, A War That Never Was. Can you talk about the mission? Because there is secrecy, I think, probably still involved to this day over some of the operations there. What was the assignment? What were you doing there?
Well, I was an artillery forward observer for 3rd Battalion 6th, which was the primary unit to take part in both of these operations, Deepwater and Operation Wappen. When I got to Camp Lejeune, there was a call for volunteers to go to the Mediterranean for a mission, and the only mission they mentioned was Operation Deepwater. We never knew about Operation Wappen, but at any rate, Deepwater was supposed to be secret, and consequently, crazy stuff started happening. I got sent over from I Battery to Fox Battery without orders, no orders. I just had to walk over there. When I got there, I was interviewed by the captain, and the captain was a fellow by the name of Captain Kane, very much like the Captain Kane, not in personality, but the same spelling as the Kane Mutiny. At any rate, he sat me down and said, "You know, Lieutenant Maddock, it would be really wise of you if you got your own service pistol." And I said, "Oh." He said, "Yes. Just go online and buy yourself a service pistol, and when it comes, get the cheapest one you can. But when it comes, you'll have a serial number, and you'll take that little Hummer over to the armory, and they'll fix it for you." Well, I did exactly that. I wrote to Golden State Arms Corporation in California, and for $18.50, they sent me a good old-fashioned 1911 semi-automatic pistol, service type. And it arrived, and so I sent it over to the armory as directed, and it came back to me 2 weeks later, match-conditioned. They took everything but the receiver and the serial number and replaced it. So I have a brand spanking new pistol and match condition. Now, instead of the old, good old Marine Corps 25-pound trigger pull, I've got a 3-pound trigger pull. In other words, it's on a hair trigger.
Yes.
And really a good piece of equipment. And so at that point, everything being set, we set out to get trained. And we went to Little Creek, Virginia, and trained for beach landings there in landing vehicle tracked, LVTs. And then we went down to Cherry Point, North Carolina area, got aboard an aircraft carrier, and got landed by helicopter in and around Cherry Point. After a week of this, we went back to Camp Lejeune, and we saddled up and went to Morehead City, boarded ships, and sailed for the Mediterranean. And that's kind of what happened beforehand. You have any questions about any of this?
Well, it's interesting, and time is going to go by so quickly, and I also want to talk about the other book, The 1300 Years War, because that's fascinating as well. You're on this mission. It's called off 5 hours before a planned beach landing on the Syrian coast, called off by President Eisenhower. So there's this element of mystery there. It's a great story. And you'll find it in the book Operation Wappen, A War That Never Was. Robert Maddock, our guest on the program, M-A-D-D-O-C-K. The book's available at Amazon, all the usual places. And this is really,
By the way, I mentioned.
Yes, sir.
You'll see an atomic blast on the front cover of this book. And it has a meaning. Our only weapons at the time were nuclear. It was very interesting during that pre-invasion briefing. We had just finished Operation Deepwater and had blank ammunition, and there was a call for questions by Colonel Schaffner, who was the commanding officer of the 6th Marine Regiment, and he said, "Did anybody here have any questions?" And here I am, a second lieutenant, the most junior officer in the room. Everybody else are colonels and majors and people like that, and I'm a second lieutenant, and I'm the only one with a question. And he looks at me, and he says, "What do you want to know, Lieutenant?" And I said, "Sir, we've just finished up with Operation Deepwater, and our only ammunition are blanks, and we're scheduled for a beach landing." Well, the troops are down in the hold sharpening their bayonets and talking to each other, and they're saying, "We sure hope the knives will scare them, because the blanks sure won't. Sir, what are we going to shoot at them?" And he looked at me. He was really uncomfortable, and at that point he gave me my mission, but didn't answer the question. And basically I was supposed to fly over on the seaplane from the USS Albany, and we were supposed to spot the center of the Syrian army and radio back its map coordinates and then get the you-know-what out of there. And I said, "Yes, sir, but sir, what are we going to shoot at them?" And at this point, everybody in the room's ears were pricked up.
Oh, yes.
And the colonel looked very uncomfortable. And finally, he shuffled and said, "We've got 50 nukes in the hold." And about everybody fainted. And that was it. Well, the USS Albany has rifles that can shoot those nukes, and we had some 8-inch self-propelled rifles that were also capable of firing nukes. And my 2 8-inch self-propels were all by their little lonesome on the tank deck of the USS Fort Snelling, which was an LSD. And I'd wondered why they'd been put there. But it was obvious that they were capable also of firing nuclear shells. So that was that. And it was fortunate that the invasion was called off at the last minute. I don't know exactly when, but it was during the middle of the night. And when I wakened, I had not been wakened to go back to the Albany to get on that seaplane. And I could feel the ship was moving, so I got up, and it was 7 o'clock in the morning. No one had wakened me, and I had an appointment with that seaplane at 0500 hours. So I popped the hatch door open and looked out, and we were headed west at almost flank speed. In fact, we got all the way from the Syrian coast to Palermo, Italy, in a matter of 30 hours. And that's a distance of nearly 1,000 miles.
Yes.
So we were moving. And that was the last we ever heard of it. And it wasn't until about 6 years ago, 6-7 years ago, that I ran into my old correspondence jacket from the Marine Corps, and that's where you keep your orders and things like that. And I popped it open, and there was sitting the itinerary of our Mediterranean cruise. And at that point, I said to myself, well, I wonder what I was doing out there. And so I went to my computer and Googled Syria 1957, and up pops Operation Wappen. And I look at its itinerary, and it's mine. And I thought, wow, what's this? So 6 years ago, I started researching. And I even got as far as Abilene, Kansas, and the Eisenhower Library to do some research. So all of what you're going to read in Operation Wappen has been researched in the last 6 years. What happened was that the reason it was on you can do it to your. You can do it yourself, but the reason it was online was that its cover was blown in Great Britain. See, this was a joint CIA MI6 secret operation. Well, what had happened was the MI6 part of it, Duncan Sandys, died in 1987, and when he died, he left to his heirs a bunch of secret papers. His heirs took these papers down to the London newspapers, and they published them. And guess what? Operation Wappen was described in those papers. So this little story has its basis, in fact, from everything that was in those papers, plus what I was able to get from other sources. And I think you'll find it's a very interesting tale.
It's a fascinating story of a slice of history that, you know, unlike a lot of books, we have some vague remembrance of actually following it or reading it in history. This is totally different. The book is Operation Wappen, A War That Never Was. Robert Maddock is the author and our guest. You'll find the book at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, the usual places. You can go to our website and get more information. I want to spend a few minutes talking about the other book, which is equally fascinating, the 1300 Years War. 100 Years War. It'll make it longer than what it was. 1300 Years War, the evolution of Judeo-Christianity and Islam and their associated warfare. Two volumes, Volume 1, Volume 2, by Robert Maddock, our guest on the program. So many fascinating aspects of this. Let's talk about the Prophet Muhammad. You have something there that's unique
to this
book.
We have something there that nobody else has,
yes,
by the way.
Yes, tell us a little bit about that.
For about 150 years, historians have stated that Muhammad had epilepsy. And the reason they could state that was because of the hadiths. Now, the hadiths is the second most sacred book that Islam has. Of course, the most sacred book is the Quran. And the second book, which is more historical in nature, are the hadiths. Well, the hadiths describe Muhammad's illness pretty well. Well enough, in fact, that I was able to read this and put together what we call in medicine or in medical schools a CPC. That's a clinical pathological conference in which you get up and present a case, and then you determine from the case presentation only what the person had. And if it's in a CPC in medical school, then the pathologist gets up and tells you what he really had. Well, we couldn't do that because we didn't have a pathological examination of the prophet. And so I prepared what is essentially a CPC for the prophet Muhammad, and came to the conclusion that he had a benign brain tumor, a meningioma probably, that caused his left temporal lobe seizures, which, by the way, come with both auditory and visual hallucinations. And his his death actually was typical of a person who was having increased intracranial, that's inside the brain, pressure being exerted on his spinal column. And that the last parts of his life are described him as having terrible headaches to the point that they had to pour cold water on him in order to give him any degree of comfort. I'm not sure how that worked, but the Prophet Muhammad was apparently suffering terribly for the last 2 weeks of his life, and then he finally died with this. And it was tragic, of course, at the time because they didn't know how to treat brain tumors very well at all then. And so it was inevitable, I would guess. At any rate, you'll find that written in Volume 1 of the 1300 Years' War. There's some other things in Volume 2. For example, Captain John Smith of Jamestown fame. Nobody's ever worked out how he became captain. Well, it was a battlefield commission. You can win a lot of bets on that one. Your friends, why was Captain John Smith a captain? And most of them won't know. But it is a battlefield commission. And it was given to him because he helped break the siege of a town. He also got knighted, by the way, which was later validated by the British Royal Garter, which is the outfit that confirms all knighthoods. At any rate, he got that because he fought individual combat against three Turks. And by the way, these are combats to the death. And he won all three of them. And if you look at his coat of arms, you will find three Turk heads on his coat of arms, memorializing this. At any rate, that's Captain John Smith, and you can win a lot of bets if you read that chapter and then start asking some of your friends who are PhDs in history. They won't know a lot of this stuff.
That's fascinating.
At any rate, that's the story on him.
One that so many, the book is The 1300 Years' War, The Evolution of Judeo-Christianity and Islam and Their Associated Warfare, two volumes by Robert Maddock, and the other book is Operation Wappen. We could have used several hours at least to talk about all of this, but you can tell, I mentioned that Robert loves history, and he's a great storyteller and makes history come alive. That's why these books are so popular, so well-reviewed, doing so well, very professionally illustrated. And I understand you were able to, I'm going to say, maybe coerce one of the great illustrators to work with you on both of these books. Tell us about the illustrator on these two books.
Well, maybe the illustrator would like to walk in here. Raya, are you still upstairs? You better walk in here. Your public is calling.
The illustrator is a family member. Tell us, your wife is extremely talented.
Yes, she is. She's a nurse practitioner, among other things. She was born in Finland in 1941. She has more combat time than I do because she actually went through the entire Continuation War from 1941 to 1945. And her hometown was on the Mannerheim Line, so it was right in the midst of combat. And she even has a bomb crater in her backyard to prove it. Go ahead, honey.
That's amazing. And it's nice to have you here. This really has to be nice to be the illustrator on your husband's book because you know exactly what it is he wants to illustrate, doesn't it? How did that work out, collaborating on these books?
Well, it worked out really well. I did my work, what she asked, by myself, no intrusions or it was kind of fun to do it. Basically what happened is my husband said we need some pictures, but you know, if you have to go all around the United States, get permits, this and that, then he said, why don't you do it?
Probably in that tone of voice, too. I believe that that's probably the tone of voice that that was used. Well, it really adds so much to the project. And I understand he, now that he's not online, you can be honest, I understand he pays very well, too. Well, that was
you
greeted.
Like that laugh.
That was greeted. That was greeted with laughter.
Yes, the payment is not money. We have a wonderful marriage. That's the base. That's the pay.
That yes, for a number of years, and I
by
understand.
By the way, we've been married for what is it now? 45 years.
That's amazing.
43
years.
Something like that. 43
At any rate, she's an angel. Let's just put it that way.
Well, and very talented.
And you've been very, very good to me. So we have a good, very wonderful relationship.
Now, you're a nurse. Are you still a practicing nurse?
No. You know, I'm 80.
Well,
and I thought it's time to quit.
You know, and there's a time when you've
earned
that. I loved
it.
Yes. Yes, and there's a time when you realize, okay, let's enjoy life now, and it sounds like both of you are doing this, and we're out of time, but it's been so much fun having both of you on the program. Robert Maddock is the author of the two books we talked about, The 1300 Years War, The Evolution
and
of Judeo-Christianity.
My wife's name is Raya Pankinen.
I'm glad you said that, so I didn't have to struggle through that. So say it one more time, because you do it so well.
Raya Pankinen. Now I'll let her say it.
Raya Pankinen.
Oh, much better. And now I'm not going to do that. You've both done it so well. I'm not going to do
Don't
that.
Don't even try.
No, the emphasis is in the right place.
Words have accent on the first syllable.
See, I learned something else here today. So this has been history, a little Finnish grammar that I've learned. It's just, it's been an amazing day. It's been
and
so
by
much
the way,
fun.
She has sisu. Do you know what sisu is?
No.
It's a Finnish word for intestinal fortitude.
Ah, very
or guts.
Good.
Or guts.
Or guts, okay.
In a way, that's how we kept our country free from Soviet Union during the war.
Yes.
Because we fought the Russians.
You've got a whole story there that you should sit down and write as well. What you've gone through and all of the different experiences, and would love to talk about that at some time, and hopefully put that in book form as well.
Well, there is a book that you probably your listeners might want to look at. It's called The Winter War.
I don't remember who wrote it.
Pananen.
What?
I think if you just Google that, the Winter War, what time frame? So if they look for that, they'll make sure it's got the
it's
right time.
It's 1939-40.
Okay.
There were 105 days. The Finns fought the Russians. And according to Khrushchev's diaries, the Russians lost 1 million men killed in 105 days.
Wow. In that book,
in fact, one of their generals said, "We have conquered enough land to bury our dead."
Oh, that's amazing! It's been so much fun. We've learned so much on the program. If you're looking for that book, it'll be history, and you've got the time frame there to make sure you've got the right book. The two books that Robert wrote again, 1300 Years War, The Evolution of Judeo-Christianity and Islam and Their Associated Warfare, Volume 1, Volume 2, and Operation Wampen, A War That Never Was by Robert Maddock, our guest on the program, M-A-D-D-O-C-K. We're out of time. It's been so much fun having both of you on the program. Hopefully we can do this again. Thank you for sharing your story.
You're welcome. Thank you for having us on.
It has been our pleasure, and all the information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. We're back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.